Where did you go?
Cuelo.
Say it again.
Cuelo. Like, coast,
it's
south.
Olympic National Park.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, north of Quinault, south of Yuma.
Between the Hoa and Pisa.
Is it like, was it a state park or a private?
It's the national park.
National, oh, did you go to like a campground?
Yeah.
Thinking about doing that, we got going out to Forks.
Yeah, it's about 30 miles from Forks.
Why are you going to Forks?
Yeah, but it's a tall thing, Emma's, Emma's, evolution thing.
Forks?
Yeah. So actually, you, it's interesting, UW has a facility in Forks.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that's where it is. I was like, why?
I don't know.
It's the Olympic National Research Center or something. But it's, according to the website, it's a UW property. So yeah, so it's a week-long thing that's around with, you know, the interns are here and all the, so it's high school teachers and they want me to go just talk about what we do. And so the high school teachers get an idea of what we actually do. So I think while I was out there, I take the kids and just keep on going out to the coast, but I've never been out there.
Oh, I spent a lot of time out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jenny was a ranger for the national park.
Okay.
And I was, I sort of ensconced myself in, out there. And there's amazing places to take kids. Not too far.
I agree.
Like they have McDonald's with like the playground?
Yeah.
So sad I can't fit those smalls anymore. I tried.
Lake Quinault?
So Lake Quinault's really cool. And then, I mean, if you want, like, you want to tell us, there's, you go to Mora. You want to go camping, just camping is, Mora's really near some, really beautiful hikes.
Like Mora, M-O-R-A.
M-O-R-A.
We're also looking at Discovery Bay and.
You went up that way?
Yeah, we went up all the way around.
That's a little.
Long track, a lot of car. How about the, yeah, Crescent Lake?
Big Crescent.
We go this one?
Yeah, no, I'm just coast.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last one. I've been there before.
Really?
Well, here like my whole life. It's really pretty, wasn't it?
You really got to play a lot?
Yeah. Oh, it was, I think it was actually 10.
How did it get from?
It was pretty bad. I was really surprised actually. Our reservation was still pretty cheap.
Jobs.
Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Wait to Giles.
Let's see, yeah, let's see in the hall. That I have a good few passes here on my back. Why didn't you go here?
Oh, stranger.
All right, so what are we talking about today? So I think the mail is what everybody's doing. All right, so yeah, so maybe we'll probably just spend, well, is there anything else we need to go over today? Talk about announcements? Carolyn Storr's paper was accepted.
Yeah.
Oh, yay!
Biogerontology.
I thought you invited us.
That was crazy.
Yeah, it's great just to have it on CV.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Actually, the QPX paper was accepted this morning too, so that's.
Wait, is this her senescence paper?
Senescence, yeah, the salmon senescence paper. It's a pretty good journal, I mean, there's another salmon paper in there. Like, I think that's how she found it, is through references. But it's all about aging and senescence, so Tom's correct. So just a reminder from follow up from last week is about getting the libraries in, quite had that on the list of their interests. know a thing from last week with blog posts. Jessica did a blog post.
Yeah.
Good job.
Nice.
Charles is still thinking about it.
Posted it.
Oh, he did. Yeah. Okay. I knew it was coming up. So curious, so how did you do that, Jessica?
What do you mean?
So, I mean, your title was a link. So did you do it through email?
Yeah, I did it through email. And there's, like, on the very bottom after I was done with the rest of the blog, I just included the link to my notebook, and I guess just attached it to the...
Okay, so, yeah, it worked out good. I was just curious. So, but the subject of the email was the title of the post, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then you just put a link at the bottom.
Yeah. Okay.
And it made it a link. Cool. Very cool.
So then, did you attach pictures to the email or post them in there?
Yeah. You could attach big pictures in there. And you could do that.
That's pretty fancy.
Yep. It's simple, right?
Seems like it.
Send an email.
But
if you can email, you can post to the blog, right? It's not that hard.
And then it popped up on the Facebook and sent
it. Yeah, I think that helped me. You'll see the Clan Kings? That was good.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Alright, so let's talk about what's going on then, I guess. And spend a little bit more time with that. So Claire, what are you up to?
Working my butt off on this Comic-Con manuscript.
Yeah, anything going alright?
Yeah, I'm just having trouble with, like, generating figures, because I'm, like, totally incompetent using R, and, like, the stuff I have to make is, like, complicated in R, so I'm just working away at it.
Yeah, what kind of figures in R? The histogram?
Well, like, the histogram, and then I can't figure out how to do, like, the hash marks, so it's like cut off on the y-axis, like, so that it's
right. I want to get you hung up on that.
Okay.
I mean, just max out the axes and don't spend too
I
much
spent,
time.
I spent like all day Friday on that.
Yeah, that would I would consider that too much time.
Yeah.
A day.
So
I would say 30 minutes too much time. Post it on there and I'd be curious to see the code for the histograms. Do y'all have that for the R?
Yeah,
like
I mean, that's easy, but I can't figure out how to, like, get it cut off and then, like, scale just the bottom of it. It's really hard.
Yeah.
I got the histogram easy.
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, just for me. I can
I'll post that.
Yeah, if you post that. I like to play with the histograms. I'm looking at Pauline's data or something.
Yeah.
Did you get that?
And then I got yours. I'm going to try doing that today. And then the pie is going to work on intersecting beds. Get the
unrelated
data. So yeah, just
tripping
away on that.
Okay.
Finishing my methods.
Like
a little bit over.
How have things gone with you figuring out Google in order to find information?
I'm not the one that said that. You were. Stop trying.
You were the one who said, how can I figure this out?
No, you said that.
That's why Emma Googled it.
You're like, how'd you find that?
Yes.
He was doing it
right.
To make fun of you.
Exactly.
He said that to make fun of you.
I know how to use Google.
Oh. Oh, good, okay. Well, good. Sounds like you have been pretty productive then.
It's not against lab rules to throw stuff into that.
And injure people.
I can't
successfully defend myself.
Nope, there's a ton of nerve footage.
Don't touch this.
Alright, how about you, Sam?
So I'm working on tweaking some GPCR day stuff, finishing that up this week, which is today. And next week I'm going to dive into some DNA isolations from some larvae from the hatchery or something.
Hey, Katie. You doing alright? What have you been up to all summer?
I'm trying to, I don't know, survive my classes.
Cheating on us.
I think I can get out finally. I'll be here.
See?
Seriously, yeah. They said, you can be done. So now it's a top PI and I'm here. And then trying to get Pokemon going.
All right, so you're going to play around with the methods on the just simple methods about what you want to do. If you just get something down, we can help.
All right.
And look at that. That's primarily what you're just focusing on is writing down what you've done.
If it looks like we need to do another experiment, we can, I suppose, but
yeah, I think it's good. It's good to get everything down. Did it nettle it?
Yeah.
Where's the Ahmed? Is he here today?
We haven't seen him yet.
Okay. So what did you end up to nettle it?
We put all our data from the first two images on Excel. They make lots of graphs that kind of told us a little.
These are just like what species are along the beach?
Yeah.
Shellfish.
And we're going to go to another beach this Wednesday to collect our last samples.
What beach is that?
I don't remember.
Point Whitney.
And you're going to...
What's going on? What's Point Whitney?
Point Whitney is WDFW property that was where the shellfish hatchery and shellfish lab was for a really long time. And they decommissioned it for a variety of reasons. And everybody who worked there finally successfully petitioned WFW to move the office to Fort Townsend.
Okay.
And so they're going to lease the property. They can't give it away because it's a gift. So they're going to lease the property to Trout Lodge. And Trout Lodge is going to grow the fleet out of sea there.
And oysters?
And oysters.
And clams?
Yeah. So that's what's fun. It's a great place to swim in the summertime too.
Yeah.
You guys should bring swimsuits. Seriously, if you have time to swim there because
probably won't, but I will.
Oh, it's amazing.
Why is it warm?
Secret.
Cool. So they're just gonna be doing the same thing as Post and Taylor does?
Yeah.
They just
And they used to do salmonid stuff.
Well, I think they still do. That's who does. Sablefish. That's who Doug and Andy work with.
Right. So it's kind of wild that they're branching out into the shellfish
world. Just because the lab was already there?
And, well, there's a lot of money for establishing a new hatchery is really expensive. Yeah.
Right.
So they've got, the
there's
infrastructure,
no way
they've got the intake, and they've got the outflow.
Yeah. You're going there Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should start my schedule. Do you have anything Wednesday, do you?
No. We have that big Thursday, right?
Thursday, yeah, that's right.
What about Thursday?
Yeah, I might.
We're leaving at 8:15.
Yeah, I would just
bring swimsuits. It's worth it.
All right, so what you up to, Charles?
I'm doing lots of qPCR. Replicating after like 30 or 40 cycles.
So you're getting your carryover or some type of, you're getting your product in your blanks or some unexplained?
I think it's unexplained. We're thinking about the primer diver, and then I think we're just going to try it different. We're using the F1. We're going to try it different.
Using the what?
The F1 elongation pattern.
Oh, okay.
Ahmed is taking my recommendations for qPCRs, and I haven't done them in a couple years. So I don't think I pulled the best primer.
Yeah.
But have you done
a
melt curve to see what it is?
It comes up way different surface there.
Oh, it does? So it's just primer?
Well, I mean, I think I looked at it. I think it was, but there was two peaks.
One was different, and one was kind of the same.
Yeah. So, like, you want blank 2, 6 is whatever, it seems good, but this is problematic there, that pink one.
Yeah, that was the first one, right?
Yeah, that was the second one when I got the cap, the headlights of the cap, and I take it off.
Yeah, so there's maybe a reason for that, but then he's repeated it, and it's kind of...
Okay.
It looks like, we looked today, it's like, well, what's going on? It's a primer, it's something, and so we were looking at the primer numbers, and Emma, it was one that you had done some troubleshooting on in December of 2011. It's like, no point to troubleshoot primers. Sam gave us a list of good primers to use for normalizing genes. So.
Okay, all right.
Start fresh.
And hopefully going to jump into the microstats again this week.
Exciting.
Yes.
Yes. But as long as I don't get elbowed out of the way again, I'll be fine.
Do you, like, before you go, issue me an email? Can I go with you?
Sure. Yeah.
Muscle? You're going to be a muscle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can just
bring my sharpened brush.
You just sit at that other computer and we're all good.
So you're still playing around with Bradley's the stats on that, so picking that around.
Yeah. And I haven't. I mean, I'm sort of leaning towards just going on parametric. But I have one other thing that I want to pursue is like there's apparently some tweaks you can make that. Pulling the correct lamp out of Foxcox, and I'm wondering if I need to be not just using the default parameters for Fox. I don't know. Very odd. I think maybe the answer is just not a correct number.
Yeah.
There he is.
What is that?
You feel embarrassed.
Feel all the eyes beating down on you.
Alright, how did you get to them?
Last week was mostly checking out different techniques that I had in mind to check out for information and seeing how I would count different sites and how to do that. And checking out some sites of manipulation to keep track of which slides have expressed it. This week we are screening for choroid cells directly in fetal tissue.
Yeah, so I've been talking with good solid people and I tried this. Do you have PDF version of that paper?
No, but.
Because we also have access to it. I'm not sure that I've heard of it. So I requested the paper, but I sent them the link anyway so that they can get it. Tissue research. It's in Jessica's notebook. There's a link to it. And I already sent the ill request.
Yeah. Ill request.
Yeah.
Did you try your picture? Did you try renaming your folders?
No, I haven't yet. Are the photo folder?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that one I did.
That's
it. Really good. Fix all the
links. Right.
Yeah, so they're not going to be taken up.
That was one thing we learned last week. Is don't put
number sign
in the folder name. It somehow messes up the URL to embed pictures in your notebook.
So you can't find it.
All right, but you, Emma.
Been hanging out with Edel at Ahmed and working on my paper and going to San Francisco to get my visa. That was a week.
How quick was that trip to San Francisco?
I got 4:30 in the morning, and then my flight, I was supposed to land in Seattle at 10:15, and instead of landed at like 1:35 Wednesday morning. So it was a long trip. So a lot of time spent in SFO.
But you were trying to do it in one day?
I did it in one day.
Yeah.
I was only up for 22 hours.
I am working on Coverstone, and then I'm also trying to get these samples ready for the chip. And the never-ending saga of the chip is my MBD samples are of suitable quantity and concentration. She seems happy to take those. I sent her the spec. She says okay.
Yeah.
My input versus input, I had the 230 was too high, to some kind of something for my extraction. And so I went to clean it up. We Google Plus it with a cleanup kit, and I polluted, and I didn't have any DNA in my lesion. So I warmed up the lesion buffer 60 degrees, kind of troubleshooting the kit, ran it through, nothing on the column. So I did a pool. I saved everything from before. I saved the binding buffer and the wash fractions, and I combined them all together. And I'm doing a chloroform extraction on them, but it's possible they just may not be there.
No.
It's very sad.
Is Kyogen?
No, it was a Zymo research sample kit that we had. Kyogen, we didn't have any of the columns left. So, super sad. The samples that I started with, they're such a small amount of tissue. They were day 7 gonad, which there wasn't a lot of gonads. They were teeny, teeny, tiny. So they're two pools, and I don't have any of one of my 6 individuals left to pool. It's not like I can start from scratch with this tissue. But I am trying to think of what happens if I don't find this DNA, which is feels likely. That if I'm doing input versus input, and I'm just looking for copy number variation, can I extract gills from the same animals? It's a different tissue with the same animals with copy number, or is it just stupid and to not do that at all?
Well, I feel like that could be a worst case scenario, right?
I guess the worst case scenario, I would try to find another female, because I had DNA left over from my control animals. Those three could be repooled, and probably, I don't know if I have enough to MBD again, but would be to start from scratch with new individuals would be worst case scenario for me. I don't think I have enough females to pick whole new animals, but I'd have to go back and look.
Have you talked to the kit manufacturer about how it happened? I mean, there might be a workaround. I mean, you saved all the fractions of everything. I mean, they might have a different workaround than dumping it all into the chloroform. I mean, they might.
You know, like, at a certain point, all this poking around with the sample, did that make you worry a little bit?
That's why I didn't even want to, that's why I tried to email her and say, okay, it's a little high, but every time I manipulate these already fragmented samples, I'm going to lose stuff. And I didn't want to mess with it. Like, this to me felt like a safe, throw it on a column, take it off. Even if it didn't produce it, I didn't think I'd be risking losing everything. So, I don't know.
That sucks.
Super sad.
These are all 500 and below. Mm-hmm.
You have the filter still, right?
The filter I don't have anymore. I mean, I put pot. Warm buffer on it. That doesn't work enough. He's going to worry
about
it. It's not like it's huge and stuck on there.
Because it's already fragmented. Yeah. That's the only thing I would think of.
Yeah. So it's got to be somewhere else. But weird.
Yeah.
And I would suspect that first wash buffer.
Just too small to stick on the filter. I mean, so, you know, I don't know when we got that sample kit. It's really old. I know pH affects it, so it's maybe the buffers were old, the pH was off, something didn't hold on to something where it was supposed to. But we'll see, and then I guess I'll have to figure out different tissue, same animal, or kind of go back.
Giles, we don't tell us what you do. What you do? What have you been up to?
I've been working on getting stuff ready for IPA for our license for sway.
Oh, that pathway analysis.
Yeah.
You're not gonna renew it, or?
All of the uploads are gone, like $500, so
as many people into ITA as possible before September rolls around. Otherwise, we basically lose a bunch of money.
Yeah. All right. And then you're thinking about kicking around the idea about the all those Oyster sequences making a transcriptome?
Oh, sorry, I haven't had a chance to look at that.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can get to that this week. Did you talk to PacBios last week?
Yeah, I posted it on the Google Plus, the email he sent me. Yeah, so the short of that talk, I guess I talked Wednesday. I put some numbers on the thing. You know, if you want to do a packed bioassembly, you will need like 60x coverage. You know, they were kind of leaning towards what most people are doing, which is a hybrid assembly, which is Illumina and PacBio, where you only need like 20x coverage. I talked to him about the analyses, and he says definitely the best error correction is with their own stuff. The Smart Suite tools, I guess. I actually haven't gone through everything he said in the email. I think he just linked to the Python script. But I was looking at that Smart Suite stuff, and I was thinking about just playing with it on the cloud. They have an Amazon AMI instance of it instead of trying to install it all. And I mean, I think technically they want you to run it on a server. I thought the AMI might be the easiest thing to play with. But yeah, I think they gave a...
That's pretty much what I saw. You needed either a lot more coverage or you needed some Illumina sequences to keep it up.
Yeah. And this is more of a kind of exploration of what the data looked like. The other thing that was interesting in the email that's on Google Plus is it sounds like the genome facility is going to increase their capability. It's going to be able to double the amount of sequence, which is pretty neat.
Genome sciences at UW?
Yeah. So that means that we would be able to get twice as much sequence for the same amount of money. So right now I think we figure we got about half X coverage of the genome, which I think makes sense for $800. But it's still pretty neat data just to look at intron exon structure and that kind of stuff. But yeah, they're real nice guys. I was talking to two guys, one on the front end and one more with a technical specialist. But they're happy to kind of keep looking at it. I know Rick was kind of exploring the idea with the sablefish too, of how much data you might be able to get from that.
Well, right now it's focused on this parasitized data. This big thing with that right now is probably IPA. I don't know. I want to say Kristen Nichols is going to or did a bunch of Illumina sequencing for that genome, so I don't know if they're going to end up doing the PacBio.
So you're using the IPA for the Lambry infection stuff?
Not yet, but that's what Rick wants to do.
So just using like the zebrafish or do they even have zebrafish in IPA?
Yeah, that's the problem with IPA is their database is really only set up for human, mouse, and rat. If you want to use something else, you have to basically map whatever your sequences are to human, mouse, or rat. You can sort of map it to zebrafish, but the thing is, what they did is they just went and they mapped a whole bunch of zebrafish to human, mouse, and rat.
Yeah.
So you're basically doing the same thing.
Yeah. So you're
and it's also the assumption that what a gene does in whatever organism you're using, so say like oyster, so you pick some gene from oyster, it's assuming it has the same exact function as in like human mouse or rat, which might not necessarily be the case. So.
Yeah. So you're doing all that analysis on the Lamprey, right? Are you doing it, or is somebody else doing it, or?
I want to make sure that I'm talking about the Lamprey. Let's the precipitized, non-precipitized, cisquit, and lean. Maybe not the lamprey.
Well, I think the lamprey is the parasite. I think we're talking about the same thing. It's like 24
fish.
Yeah,
you never told me what parasite it was.
Yeah. It's lake trout, I'm pretty sure. But I could be wrong. But it's like 24 individuals. Sample size is 24.
24 individuals, but the problem is there was so many individuals crammed into one lane. We got like very little coverage for each individual. We're talking like maybe 1 million, 2 million reads per individual.
Okay.
Because it was like about 100 million reads per lane.
Yeah.
And a couple of the individuals like sucked up, I don't know, like a whole bunch of reagent or something, and they got like 15 million reads, and then it forced all the other ones really low.
So we've never done multi-individual RNA-seq. I don't think. You were close. It was close. So how do you handle it? Do you handle that? What software do you use for that analysis? Are you just using, or how do you take in consideration the multi-individuals?
Well, when you mean multi-individual, do you mean like, say, you took three individuals from the same group, in the same treatment?
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got 24 versus 24. Like, how have you, I'm assuming you've done the RNA-seq on that and see what genes are differentially expressed?
Well, if you assume the 24 are all from one group, DE-seq will just, I wouldn't say it pulls it, but it does some math and stats, and it handles it. It takes it, the more individuals you throw at it, the longer it takes, but it, I mean, I threw at it, I think, 6 versus 6, and it had no problem doing that.
Okay, but that's I was just asking, that's the software you're using as DE-seq?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the other programs shouldn't have any difficulty either, like EDC, NGR, BASIC. They're all just different stats tools. Basically, it's once you have that big table with the individuals and their count values for each gene, you just throw it into these programs and they do their thing.
All right. So, thanks, Gels. Anything else? Is that it? Done? This week we've got a Thursday we're meeting with somebody from UDK, Gwen, and Brooke maybe.
She never responded.
Never responded, so maybe just Gwen just to chat about kind of what they do over, what she does over there. Mm-hmm. All right, and then public on at 9 a.m. Fridays, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Is that 9 or 2? Because no one can.
It's kind of a moot point.
I'm just wondering for future reasons. Well, the calendar says 2.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Giles. We'll talk to you later on. Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Steven, did you ever translate the thing from Charlotte?
No.
You want to send it to me?
Yeah. I'll email you. Just. All right.